It's Helping Hand Weekly Feature airs statewide on HPR 1 stations on Fridays, part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered. Then it appears online at hawaiipublicradio.org, our website. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are archived. Each week, Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and to people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, we are doing another year of offering up several weeks of covering Hawaii's homeless crisis and wrapping it up this week. And it is a crisis that, despite some progress, remains the most severe per capita in the United States. We had an innovative national project and its Garden Isle component, Laundry Love Kauai, on Mental Health Kokua, IHS, the Institute for Human Services. They're all archived at hawaiipublicradio.org. We're concluding the series with local nonprofit Alea Bridge, which is focused on outreach to the homeless and other at-risk populations in central Oahu and tackling the situation there. As one can imagine, it takes many, many, many components to try to tackle such a large crisis. They've been working for the last several years trying to make inroads there, have had a lot of different elements of progress, and there are a lot of ways to support them, too. We're going to learn more about the progress and the ways we can help out Alea Bridge with their executive director, returning today, Phil Acosta. Great to see you, Phil. Thank you for coming down here.
Thanks, Dave.
And you guys, say again?
Oh, it's great to be here.
And it is always great to have you here. And first, explain to listeners how Alea Bridge connects to the issue of homelessness and what you guys are up to.
Sure. Actually, we're probably the newest kid on the block. We just started up in 2016, so we're launching into our fourth year of operations, kind of tackling this issue here. And really, we decided to focus on the Central Oahu North Shore area because that was it seemed like a space in the community where there wasn't much happening, not a lot of programs or resources out there, and so we wanted to focus on that.
And so for folks, because we are a statewide signal and there's all kinds of people joining the discussion who may not be as familiar of the geographic positioning that you're describing, kind of walk us through what is the specific area you're talking about covering.
Sure. So actually, it's upper central Oahu, if you want to look at it. So it's it starts from Mililani, extends up to the Wahiawa, Whitmore village areas out into the North Shore, wrapping around towards Turtle Bay and as far out as Mokuleʻia, so the far western tip of the island. We are looking to expand our reach to go out to upper windward side, out to the leeward areas, specifically focusing in the spaces between Aiea, Waipahu, Eva and Kapolei.
So before we get into the fresh point in time count data that recently came out, and again, while it's just a snapshot of one night in time, it does play a significant role in guiding the efforts of so many of the homeless service providers, and it informs legislators and the public too. What are some of the changes in terms of things you've seen yourself or that Alea Bridge has seen being a service provider since we last had you on, which was 1 year ago?
Sure. I mean, you can see from the released data on the point in time that there's actually been a decrease in the folks that we've surveyed. I believe in the past 3 years, there's been a slight decrease statewide in the homeless population. But if you talk to anybody on the street, it doesn't pass the eye test. It's so there are some limitations to the point in time because it's a single night, because of the way that we conduct the survey. Some folks may be resistant to that and may not participate. We may miss quite a bit of folks, but there is data out there that shows we are housing more folks going in from the streets and into the shelters and into some form of transition or permanent housing. There is a lot of data that supports that. But also at the same time, as a community member, you'll see that there are more folks that are visible.
So as a community member, are you seeing more people between when you were last on and now?
I think in certain areas, yes. There's specific subpopulations that are more visible out there. And so it does. And I think it's partly folks being more aware, increased awareness of the issue, that now you see it more. And so that does it's shown in the point in time data where sheltered homeless is going down, which indicates that they are transitioning to permanent housing, while the number of unsheltered folks are increasing, which to me that indicates they're either rejecting services or they're not open to the current shelter environment that's available to them. And so those are the folks that you see, the chronically homeless that are service resistant. Often, you know, we've talked about this before, substance use, mental illness, those are things that are so prevalent, and it makes this subpopulation so hard to provide service.
On that note, when it comes to collaborating with like Partners in Care, for example, because you mentioned there are subpopulations, they can be more resistant to service. Some could be substance abuse oriented, some could be mental health disabilities, combinations of those two subpopulations. How do you use a coordinated system with Partners in Care to sort of, when you find those more resistant folks, turn them over to a provider that specializes in that?
Absolutely. So, you know, it's a great question and great timing on that. Actually, this past legislative session, they passed two bills, assisted community treatment, that makes it, that removes some of the barriers for the providers to provide care for these identified people that are service resistant, that are, you know, have been chronically homeless and have those issues, suffering from mental illness and substance use. And so that does open up some things, some opportunities for the service providers to go out there and engage them. And just recently, the city put out an RFP or a request for a proposal, and we are partnering with Mental Health Kukua, one of your nonprofits that you know, spoke on your show. We're partnering with them to provide these kinds of services targeting this specific population.
In your geographic?
Well, no, actually, this would be island-wide. So
okay.
This would be
oh, wow.
A huge step for us to kind of expand our services, not just the service offerings, but our coverage area. And, you know, we're looking to partner up with medical practitioners that can go out there on the field and administer the medication, or attorneys that can, you know, file petitions on their behalf so they can get the medication and the treatment that they need. Hopefully those initial steps will build opportunities for us to provide more services, whether it's additional treatment, improved health care, or some pathway towards housing, where now we can have a decent or a productive engagement with these folks, and we can move forward.
So you're looking for medical practitioners and attorneys to join, like outreach, put out the specific call, since you have people listening?
Absolutely. So, you know, the psychiatrists that are, or APRNs that are willing to do the work out in the field, do the assessment, mental health assessment, administer medication, do prescriptions, those kinds of things. And if that fails and they don't engage with this new approach, then that's when we bring in the attorneys and, you know, file a petition on their behalf. If they fit the criteria for the program, we'll see if we can engage family court or, you know, adult protective services to get guardianship, and then hopefully we can move them towards some healthy treatment.
All right, so you're saying folks who you start with trying to get them the medical service, you take a good look. If they're super resistant and it appears that they're so vulnerable that the law would actually seize their guardianship in their best interest, and you then bring in a legal team that could assess if that is possible.
That's exactly it.
That sounds like it. And unfortunately, that's the nature, it seems, of this crisis, because it is so severe, and you're dealing with a specific area, but it seems like you kind of described wherever you are around the state, I doubt that you're able to not see some signs of this. And so that's one way. So other ways, other efforts that you've got, well, let's kind of segue into other ongoing efforts over the last year that you could use some support with, as we already have that out there. What are other ways that you're doing good that you think you could do better if somebody was joining your effort?
Sure. So I think last time we spoke, I'd mentioned our project to stand up the Resource and Navigation Center in Central Wahoo. So that's still ongoing, unfortunately. I can't share any better news to say that, yeah, we're up and running. We're still going through the planning review with the city, hoping maybe 2 months, 3 months maximum, and we can get started with the construction and hoping to have that facility open for the community to utilize, not just the homeless folks, but the residents to come in, you know, provide their services as well. We're hoping for that to happen before the end of the year here. And so definitely that's something that we're working on. We're also looking to expand our outreach efforts. We've partnered up with one of our partner agencies here to expand into targeting youth. That's another trend that you'll see in the point in time count, where although the increases are small, it's still an increase. And so whenever you see
in kids,
yes, well, not
teenagers,
kids, these would be youth, 18 to 24.
Okay, young adults.
Yeah, young adults. We do have also an increase, you know, good that you brought that up, in
minors,
families, so with a minor children that are out there in certain areas. And so it's not across the state, but definitely in our region, we've seen a little bit of that. And so, like I said, the trend is not significant, but there is a blip, and there's been this slow increase in the past few years. And so that could be a significant issue. And so we're looking to expand into doing outreach for the youth. We're also expanding our outreach efforts to cover after hours, which we've seen is a need out there on evenings, on weekends, when HPD or the emergency department or a concerned resident puts in a call. And if I don't have a staff out there ready to lend a hand, often, you know, they're left to wait until Monday morning, right? And so we're looking to expand into that. And we also have a new program with Family Promise Hawaii, again, targeting these families with children that are either at risk or homeless, to provide shelter and diversion services out there specifically in that area. So we're looking to launch that in, you know, in the next few weeks.
So these are all volunteer opportunities for folks to take advantage of, helping them out in areas that they have found success or could use support. What about supplies, Phil, that you could really use? Are there, and they could be anything from hygiene items mm-hmm. that you're passing along to mm-hmm. folks, clothing, food. You know better than me exactly how you could utilize resources.
Sure. I think, you know, we're good on the... we're good with food. Actually, our church partners are, you know, folks out there in the community. We have a strong partnership with the food bank. I think our folks are well fed. You know, we've got these food pantries that we're continually expanding and, you know, providing access to. And so on the other hand, you know, folks that we work with and we try to transition them into housing, oftentimes what we find is that transition can be difficult. And so, you know, if you, folks are looking to get involved in, say, if they want to donate, you know, goods or things like that, I think something like a welcome basket that's got, you know, basic household goods, those we've found we've always needed, and we're always in short supply. Definitely clothing and things like that, just like with the food, we have plenty of. But, you know, beyond the donors and the volunteers, which is always appreciated, I think, you know, for us, we're starting to look into kind of recruiting professional and skilled volunteers and folks that want to get involved. And so there's a lot of opportunities as far as community events and things like that that are ongoing or upcoming. So they can check out our website at www.aliabridge.org. We've revamped the site, so it makes it easier for folks to see what's coming up, what are appropriate things for them to get involved. But specifically, I'd love to see folks out there, talented professionals, to, you know, really get their feet wet and become members of the board of not just Aliyah Bridge, but a nonprofit that they can relate to. You know, and share their skills, share their knowledge, and help develop that organization, and also skilled professionals to lend you know, their expertise in, say, grant writing or fundraising or program development. And we'd love to get more of those expertise out in the community to help out these nonprofits.
Here's how to get involved. He mentioned the website. It's aleabridge.org, A-L-E-A, bridge.org. You can use an email contact form there or send an email to info@aleabridge.org. You can give him a call, 808-379-2532. You can reach Phil directly at 673-5463. Okay, rather, you can reach Phil directly at 808-673-5463, or you can send an email, pacosta@aleabridge.org. That's pacosta@aleabridge.org. You can always get all of this contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, and all of our other Helping Hand guests and their contact information at hawaiipublicradio.org, where you can find Helping Hand. What are things that you may have thought of that we did not cover that you want to get out there?
Sure. So we're, kind of going back to the point in time data again, where there's this increase in the unsheltered. You know, one of the things that really we need to start looking at are the housing programs that are alternative housing solutions that would convince these folks to accept shelter or move towards permanent housing. You know, there's two projects out in Ma'ili right now, the villages of Ma'ili and Kauhale Kamaile, one by the state, one by the city. Those have been wildly popular. The one in Kahawiki Village, of course, that's gotten a lot of press and coverage. They've, I think they're at full capacity. And there's also a church that started up dome shelters out in Kahalu. Hmm. You know, so it's great to see, you know, folks from different sectors in the community get involved in that, specifically towards the housing solutions. We'd love to see more of those in Central Oahu and the North Shore areas. Unfortunately, we currently do not have those facilities and those resources. You know, we did go to the legislature again this year. We got a portion of the second phase of our housing project, and so we're going to get started on kind of securing or identifying and then securing the sites to do that. We also advocated for increasing the Ohana zones on island. Unfortunately, that didn't pass this legislative session, so we'd love to get more folks kind of get their ideas on, you know, is this really a good idea, good solution, appropriate solution for the island? And if so, you know, we'd love to get more folks to help advocate for that. Otherwise, if you know we want to know why it didn't pass, maybe there's some pitfalls there that we're not seeing, and we'd love to get the insight from either legislators or some other housing experts out there and provide us with alternatives. Eventually the solution to the homeless issues to provide housing, right, provide resources. And so if it's not the Ohana zone, if it's not these other alternative housing solutions, then what? We'd love to get input from folks out there.
Well, that's a great way to also help, is what you're saying, is communicate information to you, because it does help to guide what we're doing with what is the single most severe homeless crisis anywhere in the United States per capita, right here in the Aloha State. And we've been talking today with the executive director of Alea Bridge, Phil Acosta, who is one of the folks who has been trying to take a bite out of this situation. Phil, appreciate you always coming down and visiting us here at HPR, especially being part of Helping Hand, and most importantly, for doing what you guys are doing out there, which is a very serious and heartbreaking crisis. And thanks for, on behalf of all the folks you've been able to try to help out. Appreciate what you're up to.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to come sit and talk story with you, and definitely appreciate the assist and kind of spreading the mission, spreading the word. You know, it's every time we go out there, we get a flood of emails and phone calls and things like that, just folks hitting us up and say, hey, you know what, I heard you on this radio. Funny, I'd like to share a story. The last time I was here, a retired civil engineer with a valid license, he was still active license, reached out about a week after the segment aired on, and then he said, you know, I heard all the things that you were talking about on HPR, and you know, I want to get involved. And so he became part of our design and build team for our resource and navigation center. So that was really cool.
Right on.
You know, just, you never know who we're going to reach, and folks that come and bring their treasures and bring their talents to the table. So appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Thanks for sharing that.